Well, good evening. It's a joy to be with you, with my family. Kathy and I have been married 22 years. We are the McConnells. My son Jonathan, Joy, and Julia are here with me tonight. And our two eldest boys are away in Southern California studying at the Master's University. But it's a real delight to be with you. My sister Cynthia Bennett and my brother-in-law Jim are members here at your church, and it's my first time to be with you. Thank you for the privilege to be here, Pastor Marshall. We really appreciate the privilege to meet the people and open the Word of God to your people today. We are missionaries in the United Kingdom, and I know many of you might want to say that after 20 years, why don't you have a British accent? But in order to get an answer to that question, you'll need to come back on Sunday when I'm going to do a missionary presentation for you about our ministry in Rugby. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 119. The theme of our conference is God's light in a dark world. And we really want to make sure that what we are trying to communicate to you in this theme is that there is hope for this dark world, because there's hope in the Word of God, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's hope in the gospel, and I want you to look at two verses of Scripture with me, Psalm 119, verses 105. So Psalm 119, verses 105, and then Psalm 119, verses 130. Psalm 119, 105. This is the Word of God. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Look over to verse 130. "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Now, when I was first asked to preach this passage, or these two verses of Scripture, my thoughts went to the academic side of Hebrew, because that's what my training was in seminary, a THM student in Old Testament Hebrew. I would love to talk about the acrostic, the alphabetic, how each of these stanzas in the Hebrew language begin with the same letter. That this whole Psalm, 119 Psalm, is about the Word of God. And that is where I would love to dig into the scholastics and the nitty-gritty of it. But really, I don't want us to miss the forest, because we dive too deeply into it. But I do want us to look at the illuminating work of the Word of God, because let's face it, without the Word of God, we don't know who God is. Without the Word of God, we don't know who Jesus is. Without the Word of God, we don't know who we are. The Word of God is essential for us to understand the world in which we live in, and the reason why the world is so chaotically filled with chaos is because the people have rejected the Word of God. If there's going to be any hope through the missions, through what we heard with Jeff in Papua New Guinea, it's bringing the light of God's Word to the mind of fallen, sinful man. And so I'd like for us to look at the illuminating work of God. And if you have your sheet, your little brochure, you'll see some blanks in there. I'd like for you to take that out so we can walk through in just a few moments. I'm normally preaching for an hour, Pastor. So I know that he said, take all the time I needed, but I don't have an hour tonight. So I have about 25 minutes to make some sort of impression on you about the Scriptures and the Word of God. And I want to do that. In Psalm 119, in verse 105, these words, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In that first blank there, we can just say it this way, that it is the nature of God's word to illuminate the darkness. It's the nature of God's Word to illuminate the darkness. We're talking about God's light in a dark world, and so we turn to God's Word. We know Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and what we've heard in Papua New Guinea is these tribal people know that there is a God. They know that there is a Creator. Theologians tell us about general revelation, that general revelation, such as the sun, moon, and stars, is enough to condemn a person, but not enough to save a person. To save a person, you need special revelation, and that's what this is. This is the Scriptures. It's the Word of God, and this is what we need in order to have our dark minds filled with God's light. It is the nature of God's Word to illuminate the darkness, and I draw that from this verse 105 in these two words, feet and path. Obviously, these are words that could be understood literally, but here it's poetry. These are being used as metaphors, feet and path, a metaphor for the person's walk of life. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Certainly it could be taken literally in that day. It refers to a walk that needs light because the darkness surrounds it. This is what the psalmist is emphasizing here. He's emphasizing that his feet or his path, if you want to talk about Hebrew parallelism, we could talk about that. What kind of parallelism is it? But all this to say is that he's saying that he lives in a dark world and light is necessary for him to live in this dark world. So that's probably the best way I know to summarize it. I remember an old story that Vance Havner used to tell. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the country gentleman and preacher. He told of a time where a friend introduced him or invited him to a restaurant, and the restaurant was it was subterranean. It was below ground, and he walked down the stairs, and he said when he got into the restaurant, there were these tables, and there was these little slits of light coming in through these windows, and the man noticed that Vance was squinting and trying to see, and his friend said, "Hey, don't worry about it. You'll soon get used to the dark." And Vance Havner said, "You've just given me the title of my next sermon, Getting Used to the Dark." You see, that's the kind of world we live in. We live in a world where people think that what is around us is normal. The darkness is considered to be normal. My wife and I, as I've said, we've served as missionaries in the United Kingdom for nearly 20 years, and we've come back to America for our first furlough, our first year-long furlough in 20 years, and we don't even recognize America anymore. I mean, maybe it's changed subtly over the 20 years, and maybe some of you have seen it drastically change, but it's kind of like your children are out of your sight for a week at camp, and when you come back, you notice their hair's grown a little bit longer, and maybe they're a couple inches taller. Well, we've been gone for 20 years, and there's been a lot of change happening in the country. This is, I think, America getting used to the dark. Do you see it?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, illumination, the nature of God's word is to illuminate this darkness. We are not at the mercy of the darkness. We are those who have been given God's word. So we have the instrument that is supposed to bring hope to this dark world. And we're not to be passive about it. We are not to be arrogant about it. We are not to be ugly about it. But we are to be bold and courageous when we face the dark. I dare say in advance to you that illumination, A, is necessary. Illumination is necessary because of how great the darkness is. Now, there is a kind of darkness in which a people or a darkness in which we can see using what we might call ambient light. Now, honey, was it just last night we were at the Walmart there in Virginia? Was it last night? I don't know about you, but I always thought that the Walmart parking lots were supposed to be the brightest places so you can't get mugged in them. Well, in Virginia, where we have just come from, we needed to nip into the store last night and get one or two things. And I am telling you, it was the darkest parking lot I've ever seen. I couldn't almost see my hand in front of my face. But there were still the moon and there were still the stars, these ambient sources of light. And so we can kind of see a little bit. That may be difficult to see, but that's one kind of darkness. But the kind of darkness that shrouds the unbelieving, unregenerate heart is a Stygian midnight of darkness. It's a kind of darkness where there is no light whatsoever. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And this is the kind of darkness, spiritual darkness, that is growing, not just in America, but is growing, is existed in Papua New Guinea. It's existed in other places around the world, in the United Kingdom especially, where we have served. We've noticed it and we see it and we minister in this context. And illumination is necessary because there is this kind of pervasive darkness in which people are actually blinded. You can be blinded by the sun. Just try to drive without your visor on a bright day. My family's laughing because that happened to us recently. But you can also be blinded by the darkness where you can't see anything. And that is where our world lies. But it's not a hopeless condition for us as believers, because illumination is not only necessary, but illumination is available. This is what verse 105 says. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the dark world in which I'm walking through life, I have your word, O Lord. And it's not something that came from me. It's something that you knew I needed to walk through this dark world. It is a gift from God. The word of God is essential for our living through this dark time. And it is available. It interests me as a minister of the gospel that so many people who love the word of God and say that the word of God is essential spend so little time reading it themselves privately. You live in a dark world. You go throughout the world in the dark world. And in order to have your feet and your path lit up, you need God's word. And you need it more than just from what your pastors give you on Sunday and Wednesday. You need it each and every day of your life. You need it to live. And I need it to live. And praise God, He's given it to us. It's not only necessary, but His word is intended to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. The nature of God's word then is to illuminate. It is to light up. And the importance of it is, we need it in our dark world. Without God's word, how can we navigate the darkness? Many have tried to navigate this world without God's word, and look where it's gotten them. How many times have we sought to be wise in our own eyes as we seek to understand how should we respond to these difficult times in which we live? How should our family respond? But we don't consult the word of God. We just use our own wisdom. And the scriptures warn us against that. But we are to live with the illuminating work of God's word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You live in a dark world and you need God's word. One of my hopes is that you'll understand that as a missionary, we understand that we're ministering to cultures. We're ministering to unbelieving people. Let me just say this. No matter where you minister, whether you minister in the United Kingdom or Papua New Guinea, the human condition is the same the world over. They're trapped in sin in darkest night, and they need the word of God. So it is the nature of God's word to illuminate the darkness. Now I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 119, verses 130. And just with these next 9 or 10 minutes to open these words. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And if you have your sheet there, as I trust you do, I've tried to summarize this verse of scripture that it is the intent of God's word to impart understanding. It is the intent of God's word to impart understanding. Now, before we finish looking at Psalm 119 verses 130, let me just say that salvation indeed requires information. We need to know who God is. The Word of God is also called by theologians revelation, because it reveals who God is. The one who, when we look up at the sun, moon, and stars, we say there must be someone, some powerful creator, but we don't know who He is. We only get to know who He is when He discloses Himself in the pages of Scripture. We get to know His character. We get to know that He's a holy God, that He's all-powerful, He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent. And it's the intent of God's Word to impart understanding. But let me just say this, that salvation is not merely an intellectual problem. A lot of people treat salvation as being just a mere absence of information, a mere absence of data. But certainly you need to know the truth about who God is. You need to know the truth about who you are from His perspective. And this is the intent of God's Word to impart understanding. Notice what it says in verse in 130, Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your word gives light. And notice the parallelism. It gives understanding. The giving of light and the giving of understanding, that is to be understood. It expands the idea. The giving of light is best explained by giving understanding. The entrance of your word is like light breaking into darkness. It's like understanding breaking into ignorance. Now, what is the meaning and the importance of this light? Well, light in this verse here means, it's translated understanding in 130. And it's this word understanding, there's 17 other English words that can be used if you're translating that could be used depending on the context. But the best rendering here is, as the New King James has, is understanding. You could also understand it as have the English word insight. It gives the unfolding of your word gives insight. The unfolding of your word gives discernment. Keep your finger there and turn over to Psalm 73. You know this particular psalm, where this is the apparent prosperity of the wicked, where the psalmist is beginning to look at the ungodly people of life, and he says that his foot nearly slipped in verse 2, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In verses 4, down to verse 9 and following, all the way down, he's highlighting that the wicked never seem to suffer like the righteous do. The wicked who blaspheme God, there's no pangs in their death. They're not in trouble as other men. They're not plagued like other men. Pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Verse 6, their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. I'm sure you've seen ungodly people, and you say, God, why is it that they seem to have all the material cares of their lives met, and here we are struggling along the way? Why does it seem like the wicked are prospering? Down in verse 16, the psalmist said, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. I discerned their end. I came to have a clear understanding about how the wicked are going to end. While it looks like they're prospering in the present day, I have understood when I came into the house of God. That's where the word of God is taught, by the way. That's where God is acknowledged. That's where the worship of God is governed, by the word of God. And you come to understand what happens to the wicked. That same word there, then I understood their end, is the same word found in Psalm 119, verses 130. That the entrance of your word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I'm not sure if you saw this YouTube. My son is a master at YouTube. If we ever need to know any trivial matter, we just ask Johnny about YouTube, and he helps us with it. But I occasionally dip into a YouTube video to see certain things. And I something caught my eye a number of years ago with a man who was colorblind, and he was given a pair of glasses. Have any of you seen that? Many of you have seen that. I don't know about you, but as a minister of the gospel, this is so illustrious of what the gospel does when God saves a person and brings them out of darkness to light. I mean, it's not that they've gone from complete blindness, which is the case for those of us before we were saved, and then God completely opened our eyes, but to see it in the video. And they just, you know, give him a present, and there's the dad, and he doesn't know what's about to happen to him. He just puts on the glasses, and he's like, whoa, he has to take the glasses off, and tears are streaming down his face. He's never seen his wife's pretty eyes before. He's never seen his daughter golden hair. He's never seen what a green tree looks like. He's seen it his whole life, but he's never really seen it. He's lived his whole life, but he's never really lived until he got to see it that day. And obviously the new birth is a greater change. It's a greater seeing than even that. That's just going from black and white to color. This is going from complete blindness to seeing the world as God made it, to see the world as it really is. This is important because the intent of God's word to impart understanding. You see, God has given us his word that we might come to know him, and that those who lie in the darkness might come to know him. God is come on a rescue mission for those trapped in darkness. And how does God give this light? How does God give this understanding? Well, he says the entrance of your word in the New King James. The unfolding of your word, the ESV translates it. It's when the word of God is opened. It's not exactly the preaching of God's word. This word, entrance of your word, stands for the opening or it's the doorway through which light comes in. It's a doorway into a whole new world of understanding. And I wouldn't necessarily think it's wrong to apply that particular verse to say that when your pastor expounds the word, when he reads the text, explains the text, illustrates the text, and applies the text, I think that's a good application of this. The unfolding of your word gives light. And so you need to have the text in your hand. In Papua New Guinea or the United Kingdom, the need is the same. The word needs to be explained. It needs to be taught. It needs to be given. And what is the intended result of receiving the light of God's word? It's understanding to the simple. The word simple here means the ignorant, those who don't know. The intended result of receiving God's light is what we hope will be that divinely enabled aha moment where they get it. Have you ever had that experience where you're teaching your children something and they can't get it and it's like Martin Luther trying to preach through Song of Solomon, you know, and saying, Solomon, you must yield, you know, and your kids finally get it and they have that aha moment. The intent of the intended result of receiving God's word or unfolding God's word is that we might maybe have that divinely enabled aha moment. So, without God's word, a person and all people are in a desperate and hopeless darkness, like what you saw in Papua New Guinea, whether it's animism, whether it's cynicism in the West, whether it's atheism in Europe, whether it's atheism and cynicism and unbelief here in America. Without the word of God, there's no light for the darkness. But with the word of God, and because we have the word of God, we forge on into the darkness. It's not about you. It's not about how clever you are or how bright you are. It's about God's word. The power is not in you and it's not in me. The power is in God's word and you have it. I said it to my children some time ago. It is not the powerful preaching of the gospel that saves, but it is the preaching of the powerful gospel that saves. The one focuses on the performance of the preacher, and the other one focuses on the power of the text. And you don't need to be eloquent. You don't need to be seminary trained. You just need to have God's word speaking God's truth to people who need the light to illuminate their dark lives. And the work of the Holy Spirit when he attends the word and saving his people. So this is a message I think that we need to begin with, that God's light in a dark world begins with the scriptures. He's going to later say that you are the light of the world. He's going to later say in the scriptures that you've become children of the light. Jesus is going to say, I am the light of the world. But tonight, we're looking at God's word being your light for the darkness. And my prayer for you is that you'll be bold, not just a casual reader of God's word, but you'll be bold with the light of God's word to bring it into the darkness. You need no special training, but to be able to read God's word to someone else to dispel the darkness. Pastor, will you come?